Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, it would get better with age, wouldn't it? If it weren't.
Susie was complaining about the lack of a priestly voice at the start of this podcast.
Wasn't really a complaint. It was just an observation.
Mm-hmm. Ah, right.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of line that you use to your kids, isn't it? Don't take this as a criticism. I'm just observing, but are you really going to go out like that?
Yes, just an observation. Entirely your choice.
Anyway, welcome to another Confessions podcast. As you can hear, Sister Susie's down a pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt is in the gutter.
Yes.
Sister Holly is lurking in the tack cupboard.
Absolutely.
There she is. Coming up, we visit the parish notice board and check out the latest additions to the board. We also give you a taste of some confessions that didn't quite make the cut in the Not For Broadcast section, the Mark Knopfler section. Plus, you'll also get to hear all of the confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, Monday to Friday, 4 till 7. If you could tune in then, that would be great.
It would be great.
Amongst the confessions you're going to hear, Bex's twins tale, It Takes Two, Baby. Colin's camping confession, Well, They've Got No Room For Ravers. Gemma and Dean's confession, Song Sung Blue. But first, Sophie is trying to impress the boys in her confession, And When You Hear It Thunder, Don't Run Under a Tree.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, Sister Holly and Sister Katie, just depending on who's around just at the moment. My confession dates back to the spring of 2006. I had just turned 18 years old and spent my weekends being a typical teenager, hanging out with my best friend in the town centre, trying to appear cooler than we actually were, gawping at the local guitar-playing, floppy-haired teenage boys we knew in our town, and occasionally drinking bottles of things we might have found in our parents' kitchen cabinets because we didn't have any money to buy anything ourselves.
Wow.
Sorry about that, pub owner. And remember, she said she just turned 18.
18, so
everything
fine.
Is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
The best weekend of the year was by far the town carnival, when said floppy-haired boys would be gathering to perform in the Lion Pub car park on a stage made from an open-sided lorry. This was a great opportunity to dress up in our best emo outfits, draw as much eyeliner on as humanly possible, and try to catch their attention with our coolness. Whilst dolling up, it was only natural that we would limber up with a few bottles of cheap Belgian beer to get the afternoon started, which soon turned into Now, I think as many people will vouchsafe, Belgian beer is spectacularly strong.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And to be consumed cautiously and carefully in the evening.
Yes,
and
not in the afternoon.
Not in the afternoon. But anyway, this is what Sophie is confessing to. This is has a direct, obviously, lead into what happened. By the time we arrived at the pub car park, the place was rammed full of people dancing and having a great time to the sounds of teenagers covering hits by the Fratellis, the Killers and Arctic Monkeys. As I danced with my best friend, I began to notice that my head was feeling rather light and the sensation of the car park floor was starting to spin. I kept my cool and spotted a lad I'd met at a party some weeks before. Let's call him Mr. Fitty.
Let's do that.
I saw my chance to make an impression. We danced and pogoed side by side, with the inside of my head spinning more and more with every jump. But I was having too much fun to worry about that. At the front of the stage, I suddenly spotted a large fireman's helmet. Thinking it would be a laugh and a way to get Mr. Fitty to notice me, I grabbed the helmet and plonked it onto my head, ready to pose and giggle in a cute and cheeky manner. In what felt like a split second, something very odd was happening all around my head. What felt like a torrent of cold water was falling all around me. In my fuzzy-headed confusion, I dropped the helmet, stumbled off and tried to work out what on earth had just happened. Father Simon, the shame and embarrassment I felt in the moment that happened next is something which haunts me to this very day. As the fog cleared and my brain started to sober up, I realised what I had just done. All over the car park, the floppy-head boys I was trying to impress were scrambling around on the floor desperately trying to gather up hundreds upon hundreds of pound coins, which the carnival volunteers had been collecting all day long for the local children's hospital charity and placed in the helmet, which I had just put on my head.
Wow.
So the cold water falling around me was actually not, it was pound coins, and horror swept through my body and my blood ran cold. I sobered up very quickly indeed, and this is the most shameful part, I simply ran away out of the carnival out of sheer embarrassment, leaving Mr. Fitty and the floppy-haired boys to right my wrong. I avoided any event where I might be seen anywhere near them again for the next few years before I left for university and still feel awful for this very silly drunken mistake. So, Father Simon, I seek forgiveness from the floppy-haired boys who cleared up the mess, my best friend's parents, whose beer always seemed to run out abnormally quickly, and the local children's hospital who may have missed out on a few quid if it fell down the pub car park drain. Yours faithfully, love the podcast, that's Sophie. Well, I think that that little thing at the end there is a desperate stab in the general direction of trying to get some forgiveness. I suspect Susie's going to be a lost cause because pounds were thrown away. Sister Susie.
Pounds were thrown away, and also you just need to be very careful with the beer that you're drinking and respect it. You know, if you go to a Belgian beer, you're talking like 8.5% for a Delirium Red. That is strong. You should enjoy it and sip it and not drink a couple of them in the afternoon.
Make it last, yes.
Make it last, yeah. I just don't think that, you know, as an 18-year-old, you deserve to have such nice beer. And, you know, it must have hurt as well, the pound coins. And I just feel like, I know. You should have gone into the pub and bought a pint of cider. I don't forgive you.
There you go. You have to stick with the publicans at the end of the day, don't you? You have to stick with, you know, pubs need every pound that they can get.
So true.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. Who leaves the collection box just, you know, hanging around willy-nilly for people to grab? Should have been, should have had it under control, shouldn't they? Should have had the pub should have taken control of the collection box, and they didn't, and therefore someone threw it over their own head. So nothing to forgive there. Nothing to forgive for the floppy-haired boys, because I'm sure they're fine. That kind always are. So I'm going to forgive.
For that reason.
For that reason. For all those reasons that makes perfect sense, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Is your suggestion that floppy-haired boys are kind of like public school boys?
Yes, I think they are, aren't they? Floppy-haired, everything's about them, isn't it? You know, they're always fronting bands and wearing complicated shirts and no socks. I think we all know who I mean.
And loafers.
Loafers. Goodness.
What's wrong
me.
With a loafer?
Loafers and eating off bricks and things like that. All
eating
the bit odd.
Anyway, he's just talking about people who live in Hackney. Strong reaction on the people's verdict.
Lee in Derby says, not forgiven. Belgian beer is the tastiest beer. You can't have 18-year-olds getting drunk on it. What a waste.
I mean, that's generally true.
It
Can
is.
I just point out what a genius title this confession was? And when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree, which is, of course, there'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Oh,
so pennies from heaven,
as in
a helmet full of coins on your head. Pennies from heaven.
Yeah, no,
just
that's
if you
very
hadn't
good.
Made that connection, I just
no,
like...
No, it's always better when you explain the joke. That's what I've found
it's
in comedy.
It's a strike of genius.
Yeah, it is.
I think so. Before we head back to the confessional booth, a couple of new bits and pieces on the parish notice board, starting with Matt's favourite reviews.
Yes, the favourite reviews are always going to be the ones that are 5 stars on the wherever you leave your podcasts. So Henry Crun says 5 stars.
Henry Crunch, maybe.
Henry Crunch, wasn't enough room to write the crunch. Meg can't run out of... Anyway, Henry Crum says, Hi, Simon, your amazing team.
Hi, Henry.
Love the show. 5 stars from me. I'm now converting Kiwis. How do you convert a... As I now live in New Zealand. That's why I should have read a little bit further on. Read on, Matt. Well done. Just doing it off book. Converting Kiwis to your podcast. And my work colleagues love it. Great to have it back. Funny as ever. And Carson says 5 stars. Hey, I love the show. Me and my dad listened to it together. And I was hoping I could get some tat for my dad because he is an amazing football coach. Maybe a mug if that's possible. I love the show. Keep it up. I'm sure we can do a mug, can't we, for Carson?
Don't look at me. Look at
I think so. Well, yeah. He needs to send us an address because this is the review, of course.
Oh, of course it was.
Yes. Nothing to send this.
No,
to.
No. So Carson needs to get. How does he do that on the thing?
He can't leave email that with us. Apple.
Oh, that's true. What you do is email us. What an excellent.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
That is the email. And remember, we will always read out your 5-star reviews. So please go and do one and do it where you get your podcasts.
Please, you've just invited our listeners to go and do one.
Can you go and do one? I got very aggressive there. But anyway, follow the podcast for updates and 5-star reviews.
So, depending on whether Carson gets in touch will depend on how you're thinking about generosity there.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Be nice, Carson. Holly decides all of these things. Susie, what's on the notice board that caught your attention this week?
Yes, I have got a photograph, but before I go ahead, I've got a little mini confession of my own to admit to. If people listening downloaded the podcast last week, might have got it slightly earlier than normal because I put the wrong date in when I uploaded it. So some people might have got it on Thursday night.
Oh, like it.
Quite exciting.
So that's a benefit from if you follow us or is subscribe or whatever, is you might get it earlier if Suze has made a mistake.
Yes. But that's good. Why don't we just put it out on Thursday anyway?
Yeah.
Because it's way too tight a turnaround.
You're always just thinking about.
Yeah, I agree, Simon. Why can't we make a production?
Like Susie's literally like sat there at about 1 o'clock in the morning, like
perfectly. It worked last week.
Wednesday before we even had a Thursday confession. Let's do that. I did actually realise my mistake and change it almost immediately. But when I looked at the download statistics, it was very clear that there were people that had had got it a bit early.
But I still think it's a good thing.
It is a good thing, isn't it? Yes. But it was obviously a genuine mistake.
And for that reason...
we're going to forgive. Well
done. Thank you very much. Well, back to the notice board. I've got a photograph here, which is accompanied by a little note from Jonathan, who you might remember from last week's confession about Windy Uncle Will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan says, "Dear Simon and team, thank you for featuring my confession last week. It is a true story, and I have attached a picture of Uncle Will from Christmas 1983, when he was in the absolute peak of his powers. Having discussed it again with my sister, she reminded me that he also used to wear a pair of underpants over his trousers with the slogan 'One-Shot Willie' on the front during his performances, which my mum is holding in the photograph."
What's he got in his... Are we going to go into what he's got in his hands?
Well, that's the baguette.
Oh, right.
Do you remember? Right. Because he was a reference to a French stick.
Okay,
yes.
So the French stick is the baguette.
Also, why is there a clown in the background?
No, that's him.
That's a Christmas tree?
No, next to the Christmas tree, there's a clown.
That's Uncle Will. Oh, that's a ghost, I think.
Yeah. I thought Uncle Will's the one holding the baguette.
Yeah, that's true. In a strange Turkish fez.
And then a child sort of crying in the background. It's all.
Yes.
Henry. It's Henry.
Henry
the ghost.
I don't know who Henry is, but it says Mum, Henry, Jonathan, Darren, and Willie.
Well, Henry needs to just pipe down a bit.
Yes, I think so.
Nobody wants someone dressed as a clown.
Clown?
It's bad enough with Uncle Willie with his... He's holding his French baguette in a very kind of suggestive way anyway, which is
Don't need to go into that, really.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Jonathan says he regrets not adding the underpants to the story now, but thanks again for reading it out. And he said he hadn't told his siblings he was doing it, so it brought back a lot of fond memories and laughters.
Okay, but thank you very much for getting in touch. I mean, interesting to see Uncle Will... Yeah.
My instinct is that I would not get on with Uncle Will.
If he's your uncle, you're probably more tolerant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, what are you going to do? You know, you can't say Uncle Will can't come around for Christmas dinner.
I think he probably could.
I don't think he can.
I think you can ban members of the family.
Really?
Why not?
Ban them from coming round?
Yes.
Great.
Wow.
I bet Sister Holly, do you have some people in your family that you just go, "We're not seeing them again"?
No, because they're all respectable individuals, you
That's
see.
So, true.
So it's so different,
such,
really.
Such circles in which you move.
Exactly.
Anyway, If you'd like to contribute to the parish notice board with that kind of nonsense, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Don't forget to send your confession there too, and you win a smart speaker if it features on our show. Couple of mentions to Super Shaker 1980, Liam, Stephen Hill, Pie Man 1962 with an underscore between Pie Man. There can't have been any other Pie Man.
There's so many Pie Mans. Yeah.
Film 100 and Mark Film 100. That was a very old edition.
Yes, Barry Norman.
Yes. And Mark Gorman, who tweeted or blue skied the secret phrase from last week, which of course was Das Malibu und Coke.
Yeah.
Matt, a little notice from Eurobabs on Blue Sky, said we should actually say Malibu und Cola. Not
is that
Coke.
What they say in Germany? Cola?
Yeah.
So that's how does that work with Pepsi then?
I'm just saying.
Maybe should have thought of that.
I think Eurobabs knows what Eurobabs is talking about. Yeah. Malibu und Cola, in case you ever need to go there again.
Yeah.
Matt will have a new code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time to head to the dark and seedy undersection of the notice board, where the confessions marked, I don't think you're going to touch this, reside. See what's new. First up is Danny. Danny, it doesn't matter how horrible your boss is. Spiking his drink.
Right, already.
With a laxative powder.
Oh, my, two strikes, no.
At the Christmas party is not acceptable. We never use those. Apart from in this section,
you're
not going to win anything with that.
Nothing.
There is no laxative confession that's going to get on. The
have
show.
We? I seem to remember us using one.
Apart
in extremis,
from the ones that we had,
yes, on. Which were very. Unless it's very funny, it never gets on. unless it's funny.
Less and not too graphic.
Yes,
but I'd just rather not have them.
It's
at all.
Not the main thing. Maybe there was one involved early on, like in the first paragraph, but then the joke is in the fourth paragraph.
If you take the laxative, that's fine. But spiking someone else with a laxative is quite a different thing. So,
but you taking the laxative is just medicinal, isn't it?
If you've got constipation,
yes,
yes.
So there's no prank.
There's quite
involved.
A lot of toilet actually in the confessions this week.
Is there?
Yes, I'm afraid so. You might have... So here we go, another one that's not for broadcast. This one's from Charlie. Charlie, you might have been nervous to stand up and do a speech in front of your whole university, and yes, there might be such a thing as a nervous poo, but...
What?
See what I mean?
I've never heard of that.
When you go into so much detail about how you blocked the plumbing for the whole students' union...
What?
It was never going to make it onto Tea Time Radio, and in hindsight, perhaps public speaking is not for you.
I think that could have got on, couldn't it? I mean, as long as it wasn't happening in the hall, was it?
No, but it was clearly a nervous poo, and then so much of it that it blocked the drains.
No.
Maybe Holly's already shaking her head.
It's just TMI, isn't it?
TMI.
TMI.
Yes.
That's too much information.
Too much intestines. Yes.
Getting back to those that did make it onto the show, however low our standards are. Bex's twins tale, it takes two, baby.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Simon and the Gathered Collective. This confession has a few misdeeds, all centred around the year 1994. In this year, I was expecting twins, due mid-June, but they arrived 10 weeks prematurely in April. As you can imagine, there's a lot of stress, a lot of turmoil, and also a lot of planning needed. But I was going to be okay. Two of everything ordered, double portions on the way.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the first part of this confession centres on the day of their birth. It's a little bit sensitive. It was a bit of panic as no one knew how much care each baby and I would need, so the maternity unit cast the net wider and wider to find somewhere that would be able to take all three of us. Now, here's the confession. As they cast that net, a student midwife said they were going to be asking a hospital in Cardiff to take us. And at this point, and please remember, I am not myself, and under considerable medication, I remarked that I could not possibly have the twins in Wales.
Oh, what?
Now, I'm just saying, I blame the drugs, and I apologise to Wales and all Welsh
goodness
people. I have to tell you,
what?
One of the twins now lives in Wales. My right. parents live in Wales, okay. and I am learning Welsh.
Ah, right.
I support
right.
Wales in yeah. all sport yeah. and am following Cardiff City's less than stellar start to the season. Where are they?
Bottom of the championship.
With?
1 point okay. at the moment. Yeah.
But as I said, this was a drug-induced misdemeanour, so I'm hoping they don't count. I know there's no legal basis for that opinion.
No.
I'm sorry, Your Honour. I was under the influence. Yeah. Okay, I'm still guilty.
Okay.
The second mini-confession takes place a few months later. As any parents of twins will attest, there are a few things that irk. One, oh, you have twins! Wow, my children were born 18 months apart. They're just like twins. Huh. Well,
no, they're not.
Guess what? No, they're not. If they didn't appear at the same time, they're not twins. Were your offspring produced by the same pregnancy? No. Well, they're not twins. Twins are twins. One evening of leisure, two children, twins. Clear? Second thing that irks. Yeah. Are they boys or girls? Well, I have a boy and a girl. One's dressed in a pink sleep suit, the other's dressed in a blue sleep suit. Do you really need to ask? And the third thing that irks, are they identical? No, a boy and a girl. Just think about it. A boy and a girl, they're not going to be identical, are you? What are you, some kind of village idiot?
Right.
Wowza.
Okay.
It's a thing that irks. It's a stressful time. Don't ask stupid questions.
No, quite right.
Here's the final part of the confession. As they were so small, they would both fit side by side in a big old-fashioned pram. It was a daily thing. Someone would ask to have a look at baby and then recall in terror saying, oh, there's two! Now.
Oh, no, there's two of them.
This got tiresome. And one day, when I'd had too little sleep, I was in the high street, the store that sells cosmetics, medicines, glasses and baby stuff.
Uh-huh.
Who decided to put the baby department upstairs, by the way, I'd like to know. Anyway, I was in the lift,
yeah.
heading to the baby department, and a lady gets in. Here we go, I thought. Can I have a look at baby? And she promptly looked, and then stepped back in terror, saying, oh, there's two! At this point, I had a moment. With terror etched on my face, I started rummaging around the pram. Say, two? There was three there this morning. Blimey, I've lost one. As the lift arrived, the doors opened. The horrified lady scarpered. Where is he then? I called after her. I've got Harry and Hermione, but where's Ron? Ronnie!
Very good.
So here we go. I have to say my apologies. One, to Wales. Two, I'm yes. sorry to the lady yes. in the lift for scaring her. Three, I'm not sorry for rolling my eyes when asked if boy and girl twins are identical. Because clearly they're not. Use your imagination. Thank you for hearing my 30-year-old confession. Well, I can, you know, you can sense the frustration still after 30 years when people ask insensitive questions. But I suspect she might have provoked
yes.
Sister Susie. I can sense that coming down the wire.
Yeah, well, Bex, I really wanted to side with a fellow mum here. You know, I understand. I don't know why shops put their baby department upstairs. It's really annoying. It means you have to get in the lift because you can't just take the
Ridiculous.
Pram upstairs. And I do hear what she's saying. And yes, you do get asked a lot whether it's a boy or girl, regardless of how many babies you had. And I think, you know, sometimes it can be obvious by what they're wearing. However, I don't understand why you didn't want your babies in Cardiff. I'm from Wales. Wales is a very lovely country. There are very lovely people. She needs to add that she needs to support Wynn in Strictly to her list of things she needs to do to
okay,
make up
yeah.
to Wales.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid I don't forgive her.
Okay, all right.
it's
interesting that she feels as though she's atoned for her sins. And they yes. and she was under severe
she
stress
was.
And medication.
Yeah,
I
understand, but no.
Okay.
Yeah,
still no.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. No, I'm sure Wales is going to get over it. And she was under all the drugs, wasn't she? She was having all of the drugs at once. Good for her. Also, we've already established that other people's children are the worst. And that now extends to the parents. Other parents. Oh, my goodness. Not parenting to my exacting standards
yes.
again.
Okay.
So for that reason, and because the music has started,
you know, it's time to stop.
I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Not making any sense there.
No, but I knew that the music had started, so, you know.
Bex's confession led to lots of parents of twins getting in touch for the People's Verdict, including this one from Christine.
And finally, Christine in Denbigh in North Wales says, this lady's completely forgiven and mirrors my own experience when I had my boy-girl twins. My GP even asked me if mine were identical. I mean, I ask you. I'm also Welsh and have no problem with her not wanting to go to Cardiff to have them, as my husband banned me from going over the border into England as soon as I was 30 weeks pregnant.
I think a lot of that goes on.
Definitely.
Okay, very good. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Still to come on the podcast, we have a revisit from a Ray Winston-type character, of which there are very many. Too many Collins in Collins' Confession.
Mm. Why were there too many Collins?
I think it was actually called Tony, but I just
on
changed
a whim.
It. Yeah, just changed it. Anyway. Well, they've got no room for ravers. That's that confession. Anyway, but not before we have Gemma and Dean's confession, Song Song Blue.
Shh, shh, shh. You won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Today's confession comes from Gemma and Dean, and it kind of is in keeping with the theme of the week. It doesn't, you know, if you're eating, there might be off-colour moments.
Oh, okay.
Father Simon and friends, I ask forgiveness for what I'm about to tell you. This is all my brother's fault, so I guess he asked for forgiveness too, and he's called Dean.
Right.
So obviously Gemma has written this and has added Dean, even though he hasn't taken part in the process.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, we had an old-fashioned karaoke machine, the kind where you plug the microphone in at the front. I'd imagine that the best karaoke singers there on Drive Time would probably be Sisters Susie and Holly.
Correct.
Yes.
With Matt and you, Father Simon, probably not so much.
Yes, no, that's true. That's yeah, right. Yeah.
Fair.
Well, one day my dad thought it would be good to go to the toilet, and instead of reading Exchange and Mart, one for the youngsters.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
For his usual half-hour routine, keeping the toilet seat warm, he went in with the microphone. And then he started singing a selection of hits from the 60s. I know we all like the 60s at the moment, but
yeah,
not
do.
Sung by my dad on the toilet. The Monkees, the Beatles, the Stones, my dad belted them out from the toilet. I was hanging out in my bedroom and my brother was listening to music in his bedroom, but all we could really hear was our dad. Then my dad thought it would be a good idea to alter his repertoire whilst doing his afternoon toileting. And after a medley of Neil Diamond favourites, he decided to say, Dean, so that's my brother's name, Dean, Daddy's having a whoopsie. So then he goes again with a stronger voice. Dean, Daddy's having a whoopsie. Well, after several attempts to get my brother's attention, we just ignored him. He started getting louder. Dean, Daddy's having a whoopsie. So we decided that enough was enough. All we wanted to do is hang out in our bedrooms. But no, Daddy's having a whoopsie was ringing in our ears wherever we went. So we plucked up the courage and we started our childish revenge. What's the best way to get Dad to stop? Unplug the karaoke? No. Turn the karaoke down? No. That's boring. I know, said Dean. So my brother quietly moved the karaoke whilst my dad was still saying, Dean, Daddy's having a whoopsie. So he opened the front door. He placed the karaoke outside in the drive and turned up the volume. Think of Michael J. Fox when he plugs in his guitar into the huge amp in Back to the Future. For the whole street to hear the loudest volume, Dean! Daddy's having a whoopsie! Number 12 opened their door in astonishment.
I'll bet.
The nice lady at number 12, number 16, because she couldn't go to number 12 because the guys just opened the door there.
Yeah, they are.
The lady at number 16 appeared at her lounge window. Dean! Daddy's having a whoopsie! The old guy at 21 stopped washing the car. Myself and my brother were rolling around in hysterics. My dad didn't know until it was too late. Most of our Christmas cards that year made references to my dad and his whoopsie.
Yeah.
We asked forgiveness, not just from Dad, but really from the neighbours in our street that heard him at the top of his voice just shouting, Dean.
Yeah.
And he's having a whoopsie, which is an interesting thing to do and probably is a bit of a family legend. Gemma and Dean need some forgiveness. Are they going to get it? I don't know. I think they probably might do because Sister Susie... maybe forgiving of this kind of behaviour. What do you say, Suze?
Well, Gemma, do you know what? I really like this. My dad used to, it must have been a thing of the time, my dad used to sing into a karaoke machine. He used to choose King of the Road or Lucille were his songs of choice.
They were good songs.
He never actually did it while he was on the toilet, though.
No, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's one thing to sing in the shower. Yeah. I think that's okay. To sing whilst you're gardening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You can sing on the loo, but not amplified, drawing your attention to everything that's going on in there.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I hope he did, you know, disinfect the microphone afterwards and washed his hands, because that needs to happen.
Yes.
But I think that was just really, really funny. And, you know, he probably had a laugh out of it. So I think on this occasion, I'm going to forgive.
The only reason for yelling Dean's dad is... Mm-hmm. That is having a whoopsie into a microphone is for other people to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So therefore, I can't see how Dad is going to complain at all.
Yeah.
That now, not just his whole street, but the whole of the country, in fact, the whole of the world,
yes,
has heard what he's up to. Yes. Brother Matthew.
Yeah, absolutely right. If you're going to be taking a microphone anywhere, then you're obviously broadcasting and you can't complain about that. And you know, if maybe singing in the loo is, I mean, it's all tiles, isn't it? So that's why you're singing in the shower, is because of the tiles, and your tiles are in the loo as well. So for that reason, that works. I'm going to forgive, because a production in that confession was top notch. Great Back to the Future reference as well. Love that. So for all of those reasons combined,
yes,
I am going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Father Simon and the Holy Commune of Forgivers or Unforgivers. I would like to confess to something I did a few years back and seek some redemption. I was on a camping holiday with my young family in a well-known campsite in the Woolacombe area of North Devon. It was me, the missus, and my two young children. We were staying for 2 weeks in a great big tent, and for the first week, everything was going well. The weather was great. We did a bit of surfing on the beach. Kids club with Billy and Betty. Beach ball at the clubhouse in the evening, and life was great.
Great.
Aww.
Until, in the second week of this holiday, a new family pitched up next to us. Now, Father Simon, I am no snob, but this family were like the ones on Shameless.
Right.
They were rowdy, noisy, and their mouths were like sewers.
Oh, dear.
Their dad was also a bit of a show-off with his convertible Mercedes.
Ugh.
And they were always drinking. Yeah, so there was Dad, let's call him Colin, Mum, let's call her Tara, and the four brats from hell, aged 7 to about 13, all in a large tent similar to ours. However, it was one of those posh inflatable ones. Of course, Colin had to brag to us how expensive and modern the tent was, with its inflatable tent poles, and how with just a push of a button, it blew itself up in under 5 minutes. I took an instant dislike to him, and most fair-minded people would agree with me. Sounds like the kind of thing that you'd come out with.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
This certainly wasn't the kind of campsite for such rowdies. And they all drove us pretty potty. There were rules, Father Simon, strict rules. You had to be quiet after 10:30 so that decent folk with young kids could get a good night's sleep. But no, not Colin with his open-top Mercedes.
Ugh.
He loved to shout and scream at the top of his lungs at all hours, and Tara's laugh can only be described as an owl screeching whilst tortured.
Oh, what?
Wow.
The kids would run around the campsite screaming to high heaven, even after the 10:30 curfew. Colin and Tara would just drink like fish and offer no supervision of them whatsoever. It was unbelievable.
Okay.
Well, I did confront Colin several times in a polite manner, obviously explaining that I did have two young children, and could he please keep the noise down after 10:30? He snorted back in a voice similar to Ray Winston.
It does say that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm on holiday, pal, and if I want to make a noise, I will make a noise. My kids, they just want to have fun, and they can do what they like when they like.
When they like.
All right.
What?
Well, how rude, I thought. He had upset other nearby campers, and apparently they'd had the same response. The security wardens did approach him a few times to warn him of his noise. However, Colin also told them where to go. I concluded one thing, Father Simon. Colin was a nasty piece of work and needed to be dealt with accordingly. I didn't have any contacts in the local mafia, but I did have an idea. And as they say, revenge is a dish best served cold. Well, it was after our final night of the holiday, and Colin was... I've just remembered a bit. And Colin was staying for another week. My missus had some food left over that was slightly on the turn, so she told me to put it in the bin. So the cogs in my brain began to go on overdrive. It was in the early hours of the night and I was going for my usual 4 o'clock number two.
Oh, right. No, we didn't really need that.
Oh.
What? Just oh. Going to the convenience. Wait, what he's doing. Oh, my goodness.
Just gone to the loo.
Yeah,
no, sorry.
Just going to the loo. Rewind.
I was on my way to the toilet loo. Block. Yeah, and on yeah. my way back, yeah. I saw Colin's tent and I thought, OK, let's do this. I had next to me some old stale sliced bread that the missus thought I'd thrown away. I ripped it into little bits and began to carefully and strategically place it on the top of Colin's tent. I could hear them all snoring their heads off, so I knew a little noise wouldn't wake them. After about 5 minutes of bread scattering, I went back to my tent and snickered and smiled happily to myself. Well, as I told you before, we were staying in Woolacombe, which is by the sea, and what a beach is mostly known for, not surf, not sandcastles, but seagulls. It must have been about 6:30 a.m. when I heard an almighty shriek. I could hear screams and wails and screeching that could deafen most eardrums. I sneaked to peek out of my tent and saw about 30 seagulls ferociously attacking Colin's tent. I could hear howls inside the tent and Colin and Tara screamed obscenities, but unfortunately it had gone too far. These seagulls were feral and seemed to have claws like razors. They began to start ripping the tent with their talons and beaks, and eventually it gave a massive pop, and it slowly deflated until it was just a saggy pile of limp, useless plastic. Feeling a tad guilty now, I came out of my tent and helped Colin eventually shoo off the seagulls. He showed his appreciation towards me, but he was very angry. "Look what they've done to my tent," he said. My eyes were even drawn to the top of his car where some of the bread had gone and the soft top roof had taken a bit of a pasting.
No. Oh,
luckily for Colin, though, he thought it was due to a nearby bin that had been left open, as the seagulls had made so much of a mess that a trail of crumbs and crust had led towards it. He then stormed down towards reception to vent his wrath, whilst I started to pack up our tent. I kept glancing across at his. It was ripped to shreds. His £1,000 tent that he'd boasted about was clearly not seagull-proof. I do not seek forgiveness from Colin. I feel he got what he deserved for ruining my and a lot of other people's holidays. I don't seek forgiveness from Tara. She was just as bad. I do seek forgiveness from the campsite, though. The receptionist, the manager, the maintenance team, because they had to deal with Colin and Tara's ranting and raving at them. Although it clearly was nothing to do with them, and it was not their fault, because it was my fault, and I hand my fate over to you. Very good segue.
Yeah, I
Sister
thought so.
Susie, what do you say to Colin?
I hear what he's saying. That family sounds horrible, and who would want that family camping next to them? However, yes. I've got a thing about seagulls. I don't like them. And when I was coming to London a couple of weeks ago, a seagull brazenly attacked me and tried to take a sandwich out of its packet.
Very bad,
baby. Out of the packet?
Yeah, wow. On the station, on the platform, and it attacked me.
Wow.
And they're just vicious. So I don't think that, however horrible Colin was, he doesn't deserve that. And especially the soft top of his car as well. So I'm sorry. Sorry, Colin. I can't forgive you.
Brother Matthew.
So they were both called Colin. So the guy in the tent and the one who... Right, OK. So a little confused by the two Colin.
I can't...
Right, can't go back
I can't
on it now.
Help, really.
No. OK, so both called Colin. I'm going to forgive the Colin number one because Colin number two was an absolute nightmare, wasn't he? With his soft-top car and his inflatable tent. And the seagulls were all feral. They weren't the only ones who were feral, were they, Colin? Number two. And everything was going wrong. And why did he only wait till the last night, Colin number one? Should have done that on the first night.
Too many
night.
Number ones,
yes,
and number twos.
Number one
in his
and
confession.
Number two. And for that reason, yes. I'm going to forget.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
See, that's what I meant about there being a lot of toiletry references on the podcast.
Yes, it's quite. We've gone over our agreed limit normally, haven't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
There are statutory regulations involved with these things. Yeah. Anyway, one of the Collins was called Tony, I think. Oh, I had to change it.
You've changed it, yes.
I obviously changed it just to keep his anonymity. Tony Johnson, I think, 31 Acacia Grove.
that's the one. Yeah, do feel free to get in touch.
So if you have a confession, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is too much intestines. Too much intestines.
Shouldn't that be too many intestines?
No, because it's too much intestines. That's the way it works.
But intestines is plural.
Yeah, but I think if you find by going onto the grammar site, it's too much intestines.
That's TMI.
I'm just looking it up.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so it's too much intestines right here.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, look, yeah. If you're going to get in touch either on X, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, where all the cool dudes are, you can either say too many intestines or too much intestines.
Whichever
feels the most natural.
Correct.
Polly, what would you use? What would you use? Which phrasing would you use for that?
Oh, no. It's like picking your favourite child, isn't it?
No, it's just what's accurate. What's true?
Yes. I think we'd all go with too much.
Or too much. Susie, what would you go with?
I'd go with many.
Holly's a coward.
Because Susie's down the line from Bristol, that's why.
But no, that's just right. It's too many intestines.
It's really too much information, isn't it?
It is.
Really.
Isn't that so true? So true.
Anyway, you can add your super catchphrase there on those various bits of social media, and then you stand a chance of winning getting mentioned.
Brilliant.
Until next time, from the pub, Sister Susie says
goodbye.
Sister Holly says
hasta la vista, baby.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says
goodbye.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you very soon.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Outtake clip if available.
Outtake clip
That's
if available.
That's normally Matt saying, rah, rah, rah.
That's normally me saying,
yes.
Rah, rah, rah.
That's normally how the podcast ends.